The atmosphere around the table changed perceptibly. Everybody looked from Scrimgeour to Harry. Nobody seemed to find Scrimgeour's pretense that he did not know Harry's name convincing, or find it natural that he should be chosen to accompany the minister around the garden when Ginny, Fleur, and George also had clean plates.
"Yeah, all right," said Harry into the silence.
He was not fooled. For all Scrimgeour's talk that they had just been in the area, that Percy wanted to look up his family, this must be the real reason that they had come, so that Scrimgeour could speak to Harry alone.
"It's fine," he said quietly as he passed Lupin, who had half risen from his chair. "Fine," he added as Mr. Weasley opened his mouth to speak.
"Wonderful," said Scrimgeour, standing back to let Harry pass through the door ahead of him. "We'll just take a turn around the garden and Percy and I'll be off. Carry on, everyone."
Harry walked across the yard toward the Weasleys' overgrown, snow-covered garden, Scrimgeour limping slightly at his side. He had, Harry knew, been head of the Auror office. He looked tough and battle-scarred, very different from portly Fudge in his bowler hat.
"Charming," said Scrimgeour,
stopping at the garden fence and looking out over the snowy lawn and the indistinguishable plants.
"Charming."
Harry said nothing. He could tell that Scrimgeour was watching him.
"I've wanted to meet you for a very long time," said Scrimgeour after a few moments. "Did you know that?"
"No," said Harry truthfully.
"Oh, yes, for a very long time. But Dumbledore has been very protective of you," said Scrimgeour. "Natural, of course, natural after what you've been through, especially what happened at the Ministry."
He waited for Harry to say something, but Harry did not oblige, so he went on.
"I have been hoping for an occasion to talk to you ever since I gained office, but Dumbledore has, most understandably, as I say, prevented this."
Still, Harry said nothing, waiting.
"The rumours that have flown around," said Scrimgeour. "Well, of course, we both know how these stories get distorted. All these whispers of a prophecy, of you being the chosen one."
They were getting near it now, Harry thought, the reason Scrimgeour was here.
"I assume that Dumbledore has discussed these matters with you."
Harry deliberated, wondering whether he ought to lie or not. He looked at the little gnome prints all around the flower beds and the scuffed-up patch that marked the spot where Fred had caught the gnome, now wearing the tutu at the top of the Christmas tree. Finally, he decided on the truth, or a bit of it.
"Yeah, we've discussed it."
"Have you? Have you?" said Scrimgeour.
Harry could see out of the corner of his eye Scrimgeour squinting at him, so he pretended to be very interested in a gnome that had just poked its head out from underneath a frozen rhododendron.
"And what has Dumbledore told you, Harry?"
"Sorry, but that's between us," said Harry.
He kept his voice as pleasant as he could, and Scrimgeour's tone too was light and friendly as he said,
"Oh, of course. If it's a question of confidences, I wouldn't want you to divulge. No, no. And in any case, does it really matter whether you are the chosen one or not?"
Harry had to mull that one over for a few seconds before responding,
"I don't really know what you mean, Minister."
"Well, of course, to you it will matter enormously," said Scrimgeour with a laugh. "But to the wizarding community at large, it's all perception, isn't it? It's what people believe that's important."
Harry said nothing. He thought he saw dimly where they were heading, but he was not going to help Scrimgeour get there. The gnome under the rhododendron was now digging for worms at its roots, and Harry kept his eyes fixed upon it.
"People believe you are the chosen one, you see," said Scrimgeour. "They think you quite the hero, which of course you are, Harry, chosen or not. How many times have you faced he who must not be named now?" "Well, anyway," he pressed on, without waiting for a reply, "the point is, you are a symbol of hope for many, Harry. The idea that there is somebody out there who might be able, who might even be destined to destroy he who must not be named, well, naturally, it gives people a lift. And I can't help but feel that once you realise this, you might consider it, well, almost a duty to stand alongside the ministry and give everyone a boost.